It's, we can need to, our eyes are always on man and not on God. And when God speaks, that's a different thing. So I went to my pastor with this thing, and he said, well, how are you going to get there? What are you going to do? Our church can't support you, and you've got two kids, you can't go. And it was like a slap in the face to me. Instead of encouraging me, I got told I can't go. And rather than listening to God, I listened to man. And it was the beginning of many disappointments. What man has done, he told me I could do or couldn't do, versus what I felt God was saying to me. And about 8 months ago, or actually almost a year ago now, I got in contact with one of my best friends that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And we've known each other since we were 7 years old because of Vancouver, I live here. But I have pretty long distance, and so does he. And so we have started this weekly chat where we talk all the time, you know, and that's been really good. We've reacquainted. Anyways, he said to me one day, he says, Luke, he says, you know, it is impossible to please God without faith. And I went, okay, I've heard lots of faith scriptures before, but I've never really heard that one. And I looked it up, it was Hebrews 11:6, and it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. And I'm like, wow. I've been listening to that all this time, not God. And that thing sparked something all over again. And then we had a couple weeks ago, we had Pastor Paul over. The following week, spoke on faith, and boy, that stirred my heart all over again. He used that same scripture, although he was talking about something else, but he used that same scripture, and there it was again. And I thought, wow. Then, Saturday nights, I have a Bible study that I attend to. You were reading this book. That's an old YWAM book, and it's about a fellow that asks some real questions and wants to know where real Christians are, or what is a real Christian. And that book, reading chapter after chapter of it, started to bring up these old things that God had spoken to me a couple years ago. And I feel God stirring my heart once again with things that I have to believe Him for. And so my testimony is, Lord, I'm really sorry that I didn't listen to you, but I feel He's giving me a second chance. And I want to go for it. I'm going to pursue it all my life. Hey, is that fast enough for you? You got 3 minutes to go. Wow. Actually, I do have a song. I'm going to need your help to do it. What was I going to do? I was expecting it to go on a little longer. So this is called The Answer is Jesus. And I need the crowd's help to do it. So when I go like this, you need to say the word Jesus. Okay? So I hope you're willing to help me today. So it goes, Jesus, in the morning, even if you're still snoring. If you hiccup when you wake up, call on
Jesus.
He'll fix you up. It's
Jesus.
When you make a run, it's
Jesus.
Even if you don't have a dime. He's the word and part of the third. Even when you have the sneezes, the answer is still
Jesus.
When you're in the valley,
Jesus.
We'll take you through. The answer is
Jesus.
Even if you don't have a clue. When you're as high as a kite because life is treating you right, don't forget
Jesus.
Or pride might be your next plight. When people hurt you, it's
Jesus
who heals you. If you're down, don't frown. Ask
Jesus
to save you, and He'll give you a white gown. When you lost your way, call on
Jesus.
He'll show you today. Did you come up short? Call on
Jesus
for a different report. The problem you're dealing with is very large or very small. Just know
Jesus
can tackle them all. If you know the devil and he's all you've found, cry out to
Jesus
today, and that old hound will no longer have ground. If you're addicted to form, sound a horn, because Jesus will.
Yeah, he will. Jesus will crush that thorn, is what it is. Sorry. If you feel like a dud, please, with blood and
Jesus
will make you to bud. If you're down with a frown because the devil has you blue, call on that name that saves because
Jesus
knows you. What's the name?
Jesus.
Amen.
Pardon?
Text me and I'll reply. Pastor Stanley is bringing the word today. Hallelujah! We're standing with us. Yeah. Lord, you're so good. So good. You're so good. You're so gracious. Thank you, Lord. It's so good. Thank you, Lord. You want to call me for this time, right now. He's well able. He's well equipped.
Apparently, it's going to be about Jesus today, so that's good. You're in the right place. It's all about Jesus and his sacrifice. In a little while, we're going to come to Jesus' table. I like that one line that we sang about drinking from his cup. I drink from his cup. He offers the cup to us. And it's such a reminder of our forgiveness, right? It's a celebration, and there's a I don't know if you sense it today, but I just sense that in this place today, that there's joy. There's like a breakthrough. There's joy. There's hope. Our hope is in Jesus, right?
Amen.
Our peace is in Jesus. Our redemption is in the blood of Jesus.
Right?
And we have an eternal life to look forward to. Amen? I just want to pray a couple of things before I open the Word today, and then we're going to come to the Lord's table later. I want to remember Ken Pike today. I just saw on the bulletin that his father passed away, so let's pray for him. And some of you may remember Suzanne and William. They usually sit here, and they got a little boy. They have another little boy born this week. So I just want to give praise for that, too. So is it okay if we just pray for a second? Pray for the Spirit to come and lead. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to give you all glory and honor and praise. You are Jesus. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. You're God in us. And we're just so grateful today. Thank you for the joy in this place. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads us. And we just pray for that awakening today. Holy Spirit, the breakthrough here. And just touch us where we need to be touched. We pray for heaven to come down.
Yes.
We pray for heaven to come down. We're ready for that, Lord. We're just ready to receive what you want to give us. You are such a great and faithful God. You are God who is all powerful. You're a God who's in control. And we pray, Lord, that as you speak in your word today, that it'll be a word that just touches our heart. It'll be a word that's clearly from you. We are thankful today for what you've done in our church and what you continue to do, how you lead us. We thank you for William and Susanna, with the little baby boy that was born a couple of days ago. For another healthy son, we just say thank you, Lord. You are the giver of life. And you're the one, Lord, who grants this little boy, and we just are praying for them today. And we're praying, Lord, that you will establish the work of your hand, that this little boy will grow up to be a man of God. Thank you, Lord, for Christian parents. And we just commit them to you, God, and pray that you will stand with them, and that you'll be with them, Lord, through these first early days as well, Lord. That's sometimes not easy. And for Ken and Priya, we just remember them today too, God. Thank you for Ken and Priya, for the mission work that they're doing in Costa Rica, and we know that Ken's father went to be with you this week. We're thankful, Lord, for his faith. We're thankful that he knew you, he knows you, he's with you. He's not lost. We didn't lose someone. We know exactly where he is, and he's with you. Thank you for that, God. I pray for Ken, especially, that you'll comfort him. And we hear that he won't be coming back for this, and that probably is not easy for him. So, Lord, just put your arms around him and love him and care for him. And help them to know, Lord, that we love them and we continue to pray for their mission work there. God, I pray that they will see much fruit on the work that they're doing. They are committing their lives to you, God. And we just pray, Lord, that your good news in Costa Rica would indeed be good. It'll be about Jesus. It'll be about your love and your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. But we remember them before you today and ask you, God, to just cover them. Cover them right now. in your comfort, and in your grace, and in your love. Because that's who you are. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, God's Word. Let's look at what God has to say today. And I'm just going to start reading in Hebrews chapter 10 and then in Genesis chapter 3. Last week, Chris led us in the Word of God, and he talked a little bit about Adam and Eve, and I want to kind of go back there a bit today. It was sort of a passage that God had been leading me to for a number of weeks already. But just to kind of preface that with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. I think we have it on the screen. But call to persevere, but it's about how God cleanses us, and then he removes the shame and the guilt. And that's really God's message, and he wants to just remind us of today as we come to the Lord's table. He removes the shame, and he removes the guilt. So I'm going to read those words from Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have our hearts sprinkled, he says, and that we are cleansed from our guilty conscience.
Yes.
And what I want to praise God for today is that not only does he remove our guilt, but he also removes our shame. I don't know how you feel about that today, but I'm sure that a lot of us, if we look back over our lives, or maybe you don't even got to go very far back to say, there are things that have happened in our lives that we're not only guilty about, but we feel ashamed for those things too. And sometimes we have the guilt taken care of. Guilt is more of a factual thing. It's an indictment. We are guilty or you're not guilty. And when we confess our sins, God removes that guilt from us. We believe that. But sometimes the shame is harder than the guilt. Sometimes the shame lingers on. A lot of times that's because the enemy, he uses shame. You might say, well, you're not guilty, but you're still full of shame. And you ought to be red in the face. And you ought to hide yourself because of the way that, you know, you live or the things that you've done. Sometimes the shame lingers on. The shame is more of an emotion. It's more of a feeling that we have. And I know people who have, you know, lived with that shame in their lives for a long, long time, sometimes for years. I have friends right now. I can think of one person in particular who's in his room. And he's just ashamed. He won't come out. He's been drinking. And he's ashamed of himself. He's here sometimes and sometimes he's not. Shame is one of the ways that the enemy just keeps us in prison. And the good news today, I'm just going to just tell you the whole good right off the bat. Here's the good news. You know, you don't need to wait for it. The good news is that Christ has not only removed our guilt, he's removed our shame.
Amen.
And that if you're feeling shame, the only thing ever that's good about shame, the only thing ever that's good about guilt is that it leads us to repentance. That's the only purpose that God ever has for guilt or for shame, is to lead us to repentance, to get us on our knees. But once we've repented, that shame in God's eyes is gone. There's no more guilt. There's no more guilt, there's no more shame, because the blood of Jesus makes us and places us in a position again where we're righteous. You believe that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to read the story. The best story that I think in the scriptures is about shame and guilt is the story of Adam and Eve. So in Genesis chapter 3, we read about the first sin, we read about the first instance of shame and guilt, and I think we all relate to it. So I'm going to read from Genesis 3 verse 6. Genesis 3 verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." We're going to stop there. Those last three words strike me. You know, I just had tears rolling down my eyes this morning as I read that again. Just those three words. "So I hid." So I hid. How many people today, maybe not just people who are here, but people who you know out there are just hiding. So I hid. I didn't know what else to do, so I hid. You know? I stand and I realize that I disappointed you, Lord, and we realize that we weren't supposed to do this, we realize that we fell into this, we realize that we took what we shouldn't have taken, we ate from the tree, and all of a sudden our eyes were opened, and not in a good way. Our eyes were open and we saw that we were naked. What a revelation that must have been. And so I hid. So I hid from you, God. It's the first example of shame. It's the first sin. And what happens when we sin is shame is sort of the natural consequence. We start to cower and we cover up and we want to hide from God because we're afraid that he's going to figure out what happened. The reality is that God always figures out what happened. Right? He always figures out what happened.
He already knows.
He knows our hearts. God knew even before any of this was going to happen exactly how this was going to play out. Right?
Amen.
He knows. But shame is one of the natural consequences of sin. And what Jesus came for is to free us from that shame. So we don't need to hide anymore. Amen. The tendency in our lives is to hide. And boy, there's a lot of us who are hiding, maybe even still. You know, you want to wear the dark glasses and the baseball cap, right? And you just want to kind of cower around. You hope no one recognizes you. I don't know if you've ever been there before. That's not a fun place to be. And it is such good news to hear that Jesus removes that shame. It's not that we deserve it. It's not because we deserve it or because we're so wonderful people, but because of Jesus Christ, because of his blood, we don't need to walk around with dark glasses and baseball cap. Because we can honestly say that shame and that guilt has been removed from me. I don't own it anymore. Jesus, that's why we talked about Jesus. That's why Jesus is so important. I'm sorry. If you don't like to hear about Jesus, you're in the wrong place if that's the case. If you're going to just keep hearing about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus today, because it's all about him.
Hallelujah!
It's all about his grace. It's all about that he has taken that guilt, not just the guilt, but he's taken the shame, even the feeling of it, he's removed that from me and from you. The natural instinct is to hide. That's what we see what happens in the story. Imagine what happens in this story. Here's Adam and Eve. They're the only ones in the garden, and it's a beautiful garden, and God's given them everything you can imagine, and all that God has said is there's just this one tree. You know, don't eat from this tree. Do not touch this tree. And of course they do, right? Immediately their eyes are open, and they look at each other and go, "Whoa, you're naked!" And he goes, "Whoa, you're naked too!" You're both naked, and you can't be going like this for very long. Right? I mean, how do you cover up that nakedness? That's been sort of the struggle that man has had all along. How do we cover up this sin? What do we do about the fact that we are sinners and that there's shame and we're naked? We stand naked before each other and before God. And that is, they hide. They hid from God. They tried to get under some bushes. But here's the first real truth. You know, you want to write these things down or staple them to your fridge. Here it goes. Here's the first one. You can't hide from God. You can try. It doesn't work. God is really good at seeing where you are. You cannot hide from God. Some of us, we've been trying to hide from God for a long time. A whole lot more people out there who should be here have been trying to hide from God for a long time. You cannot hide from God. I have, as a grandpa, I have some
little grandsons and a couple granddaughters, and they're like 3 and 4 years old, and once in a while they like to play hide and seek with grandpa. But here's the catch. They are terrible hiders. Like, they are awful at hiding. They're in behind the curtains, and sometimes they're just in the corner, just standing in the corner. They're like this, and hope up with others. And then they got to pretend that they don't see them, but I know exactly where they are. And they are awful at hiding. And so are you. As a matter of fact, you're terrible at hiding. And I just want you to know this. Your feet are clearly visible under the curtains. Right? You think you're hiding it under the curtains. Your feet, man, they're right there. Everybody, and not even just God, but everybody knows you're there. Alright? Everybody does. Everybody knows that you're hiding. And it's time to stop hiding from God. God doesn't want us to hide from Him. It's the very reason why He sent Jesus. It's so that we could be in a relationship with the Father through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Good? Don't hide. You don't need to hide from God. He's such a gracious, He's such a loving God. And let me tell you this too, that there's only really one thing that removes shame. It's love. It's not a grace, but it's love. Right? It's a love of God. It's a big embrace of God that says, come to me. It's that big embrace that gives us the ability to walk once again with our head up. Because you know, people who are living in shame, they never do that. They do this. They're just living in shame. I was watching 6 people the other day walk across the road at Gates and Ross. And everyone was walking. They were carrying a bottle. And everyone was walking like this. Now, you don't dare to look up anymore. I'm so glad that we can look up. Right, Paul? We can look up. We can see Jesus in the eyes. God says, make eye contact with me. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. Take a look at who I am. I'm the God who loves you. You can look me in the eye. I know where you are. Stop hiding. It's not working, anyways. It's not working. Stop hiding. Look me in the eye. And you'll see that my eyes are full of love for you. Just so full of love for you. All I want is for you to be mine. This company. And any other solution, here's another thing you can staple your fridge. Any other solution, anything else that we try to do, any other way that we try to cover up doesn't work. The only covering that works is the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve are a perfect example. I love the passage when it says, and so they were naked and they sewed fig leaves to try to cover themselves up. I wonder how effective that was. And I thought, you know what, let's try this for a minute. You don't mind this, do you? So Rob, I need your help. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. This is in the Bible. So here's... You can just sit here. I want people to watch you.
Oh, no.
Don't be a distraction. Here's some fig leaves. Oh, first of all, they're not fig leaves. But they're close to fig leaves. And you can see the first problem with a fig leaf is that it's kind of small. And you're going to start covering up with these things. Now, in reality, an actual fig leaf is a little bigger than this, but it's still sort of the point. What I want you to do, this is really easy, and I want you to understand how easy this is, because realize this, that Adam and Eve, they didn't have a needle and thread, so I'm giving you a huge advantage.
Oh, bonus.
Yeah, bonus. And I'm only giving you 4 fig leaves, so I'm not expecting you to be able to cover anything up with it. But I want, while I'm bringing some of the message here, I want you to try to sew them together. I mean, I think it's worth sort of exploring this. If this was the solution that Adam and Eve had, let's see how that would have worked. Because in my mind, I'm thinking this isn't going to work very good. I don't know, you know, how effective it's going to be to take a fig leaf and sew it to another fig leaf and then put it on me to cover up my nakedness. I'm thinking, I put the needle in there, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that
You know, that's just not going to be something that's all that effective. And really the message is that we just got to stop hiding, and we need the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? We need the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that as a matter of fact, anything else that we try to do is just going to unravel. It is. You can try to sew together some fig leaves in your life. You can, you know, sometimes we do that. You want to cover up your shame? Well, I'm going to do with this list of my excuses, right? So you sew all those excuses together. What happens? They don't add up to anything. But, you know, I have all these reasons why I did what I did. Let me explain, you know, how I was raised and the situation and the circumstances. You don't understand the circumstances, and we start making excuses. The reality is all those excuses, they get sewn together, they just fall apart.
Right.
They just fall apart. They unravel. I don't know if you've ever been there before. It's a terrible place to be. You start to make excuses. You're starting to try to, you know, you're trying to justify yourself. There's reasons why this all happened, and it's not my fault. And all of that starts to crumble by the wayside, because all, hear me today, all that God requires of you is just to repent. You don't need to make excuses. You don't need to talk about any of the stuff that happened before. You don't need to do anything but say, Lord, I'm sorry, and I need you. That's it. That's all God requires. And he says, then come to me, and my arms are wide open, and I will embrace you, and I'll love you. You don't need to live with that shame in your life anymore. I don't know about you. I think that's amazingly good. It's time that we start walking in victory. Amen? It's time that we start walking in the freedom. Okay, we're going to do this again. Look at those 60 people going, that's good, freedom. Let's try it one more time. It's time we start walking in freedom. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. It's time that we start walking in real victory. Amen? Yes. Yes. This is worth hearing about. Worth thanking God for. I don't need to live under this cloak of shame anymore.
Amen.
And that's good news, not just for me, but for all of us. Because you've all got a story. Every one of us has something, some way that we stumbled, some way that we're maybe still walking with a limp, or some shame that you think still attaches itself to you, when the Bible and when Jesus says it no longer needs to attach itself to you. Amen? It's time to be rid of the shame. One of the reasons why, and I believe this firmly, one of the reasons why we're not effective, but we're not really doing the things that God wants us to do, why there is not the power and the authority that there ought to be in the church today, is because our heads are doing this. We're living in shame, and we're listening to the enemy. Because it was the enemy in the garden who put that shame on Adam and Eve. We need to lift up our heads and stop living in shame and start living in the victory that's ours in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And here's the thing. A lot of times, and maybe you won't agree with me, but historically in the church, historically in our families and in our lives, what we've done is we said to people, well, when you change your behavior, when things stop happening in your life, you stop drinking and you stop doing this and you stop swearing, you stop stealing, when you stop doing those things, then we'll say you don't need to be ashamed anymore. But the reality of what God's Word says is actually totally different than that. It says your shame is removed from you even before you confess.
Right.
Essentially, listen to me here, essentially, your shame was gone the day that Jesus died on the cross. You just need to acknowledge it. You just need to acknowledge it. Because we've been waiting for people, and we wonder why people do this cycle over and over and over again. Some of us have been in this cycle. You know what I'm talking about. You know, when we just keep sinning, we keep going back into sin, we keep falling back into that pit again. The reason is, we just need to tell people good news, and that is, you don't need to be ashamed, and it doesn't even matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be ashamed anymore because it's already been covered. Amen. And that really, for that behavior to change, it has to happen the other way around. That they start to believe, we, not they, we need to start to believe, I no longer have shame.
My sin is covered. The blood is enough. And then maybe then my behavior will change. It's not the other way around, but behavior changes first, and then there's no shame. You need to believe in faith. This is where faith comes in. We need to believe in faith that what Jesus did on the cross was sufficient, and that I don't have any shame, even though that sin might linger for a little bit now. You understand? And that's such a freeing message to give people. You know, you're not ashamed anymore. You don't need to live that way. Christ died for you. He paid that. How are we doing?
Well, it hurts a lot.
I don't want any excuses. I'll give you a couple more minutes. Are you following what God's saying today? Are you following this? That, you know, in Psalm 32, it says that the righteous man, you know, I'll read it. I did it wrong. I just want to back up. You know, all of this with God's word. Here it is. It says in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Isn't that great? Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. And that's good news. That's good news. Your sin, here's what the Bible's saying. Your sin, if you are in Christ, no longer counts against you. Amen. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your track record is. It doesn't matter how many times you've gone around that cycle of shame, you know, and bad behavior and good behavior and not shame and then shame and bad behavior. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, Jesus says, I cover you with my blood. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Paul, in Romans chapter 4, quoted this very verse again. Blessed is the man whose sins, whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. Thank you, God. You don't count it against me. It's kind of like going to a hockey game, and all of a sudden a goal gets scored. You know, it's a big, important goal, and the ref goes, no goal, I'm not counting that one. Except that he does that for us every time. No goal. That's not a goal. You know, that's not a sin. I don't count this one. It's all covered. It's all taken care of. It's all taken care of. Everything you've ever done is covered. It's no sin. It's covered. We'll practice. Are you hearing that? I mean, it's why we have such... With such joy, we should have such joy coming to the Lord's table. We should have such joy because the shame has been removed from us. How are we doing?
That's
about as
good as
we're going to
get.
Careful. Okay. Thank you, Robin. Let's give Robin a hand. And she's right. You know, she's a pretty good seamstress, actually, but this isn't going to, it's not going to do much. It's not going to cover much. But this is our best effort at covering up. That's the point, okay? This is our very best effort at covering up our shame. This is it. And, I thought that might happen. This is the best we can do. Are you hearing me? Here's a universal truth. This is a theological statement. I want you to hold on to this. You thought, well, I never thought I was going to get a theological statement. Well, you're going to get one. Here is a theological statement. And this is that fig leaves are always going to fall apart. That's it. That's a theological statement. Your fig leaf is always going to fall apart. It's never going to cover up what it's supposed to cover up. And it is why you and I need
Amen.
Why we need Jesus. Amen? Because everything we do, all the excuses, all the hard work, all the effort that we put into covering up our shame, it just unravels and it just falls apart. And it doesn't add up to anything.
Now, I want you to notice something else in this story, because we're not quite done. But if you read a little later on, in Genesis chapter 3, right after the curse, okay, I just fill this in a little bit, but, you know, Adam and Eve have sinned, they're naked, they try to cover themselves up with fig leaves, they hide in the garden, and then God says, who told you? You know, why did you eat? Why did you eat of this tree? And then God proclaims the curse. Genesis 3. He says that there's going to be pain in childbearing, and that you're going to toil by the work of your hand. There's going to be sweat. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard to do. But then he also gives the promise. He says, but I'm going to send, you know, I think it's 3:16 or 3:15. He said, I'm going to send my son, and he doesn't quite say it like that, but he said, he'll strike his heel and he'll crush. Right? He'll crush your head. Talking to the serpent, right? You crush your head. And then immediately after that curse, I want you to hear this. Then, this is verse 21 of Genesis 3. Then the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Isn't that cool? The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve. God knew that, you know, this was feeble. This isn't going to work. All this is going to do, you know what, if you wear this, all you're going to do, if you wear this, you're going to do this. You just better stand still. This is like a prison. You got this on, you better not move, because if you move, it's going to rip, and the next thing you know, you're going to be exposed again. All the works of man is just like a prison. You can't even move. There's no freedom. And so the Lord God made a garment of skin, and he provided it for Adam and Eve. Why? Because he loved them. He loved them so much. It shows the immense kindness and the love of God, right? He doesn't storm out of the room, does he? You know, he issues the curse, and he doesn't go, that's it now, I'm done with you, I'm leaving, I'm never coming back. You, for shame, for shame, for shame. You should be ashamed of yourself. God doesn't do that. What he does is he provides an answer. And the solution through Christ and through his blood. And understand that it takes a sacrifice. You get that today? Whatever that animal was, it needed to be sacrificed. And in the scripture, this is the first sacrifice ever to be offered.
It is.
And it's offered by God for his beloved, for Adam and Eve. He offers a sacrifice so that they can have a more permanent kind of clothing, and it foreshadows another sacrifice that will come. Amen? It foreshadows. I mean, blood had to be poured out.
Yes, yes.
Blood had to be poured out for that skin, for that, whatever that animal skin was. A sacrifice had to happen. Blood had to be poured out. And there's a cost with that. There's blood in that. And Jesus is coming to free us and to remove our shame once and for all. That's good news. I have no idea what kind of animal God sacrificed to provide the garment. It doesn't say. Could have been a rabbit. Could have been a lamb. Could have been a wolf. It also, and this is a bee, could have been a snake. Snake skin bikini. We don't know. But it could have been. The point is, and I'm just end on this note, and then we're gonna come to the Lord's table, and Don's gonna lead us in this. This is really good news, isn't it? It's good news for all of us that we are no longer under the condemnation of sin and guilt because it's been removed for our sake by God who sent his only Son, Jesus. He sent him into the world so that we could really be free. And Jesus himself said, the Son of Man came not to condemn, but to save the world through him. Amen. So, if I could just end on this, and just think about this, try to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, is that there's no shame. Maybe just think about this a second. Just close your eyes and think about it. Listen to what God is saying today. You do not need to be ashamed anymore. Some of you have been living with that shame. There's been this cloak of shame that's been over you. Maybe it's from something you did way back when you were a kid. Maybe it's something you didn't do at all, that someone did it to you. Or it could be any number of things. Shame can cling to us for all kinds of different reasons. But the good news that God says to you today is you don't need to be ashamed anymore. You should not own that shame. You need to release it. And you can if you just give it to Jesus. Sometimes that shame has been like an old friend, but he's not a friend at all. Old memories. Old behavior. The old man in me and you. Things that we've done or maybe we continue to do. And we think, well, that's me. That's just the enemy saying that. God never, never defines you by what you've done. The enemy does that. He gives you the label. You're an adulterer. You're a stealer. You're a whatever. You are not identified by what you've done. You hear me? You are not identified by what you've done in life. Because Jesus has taken that shame away. In Psalm 34, I want you to listen to these words. Psalm 34 says this. Verse 5. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I want you to say it with me. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Say it again. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. We're going to say it again. You've got to get this into our hearts. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. We're starting to get it? I don't think so. No, that's not true. We're starting to. This is important. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Amen. Okay. Yeah. What that means is, is your face radiant? It should be. You know, if you don't have a radiant face today, it's because you're not looking to God. It says if those who look to God are radiant. If you're good. Okay. Life is hard. You know, things are tough. The Bible says that those who look to Him have faces who are radiant. Right? Like John Evan and all that, so they look at his face. Or Kelly. And there's lots of good examples around us here. Of smiling, radiant, joyful, victorious, free faces. Yeah, because those who look to Him are radiant, it says. So if we're not radiant, we're not looking to Him. Yeah. Let's do it again. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, and this is probably harder, but it's so important. I know God just wants us to break through this stuff, so this is out of your comfort zone. I want you to find someone next to you or behind you, and I want you to look it right in the eye and then say it with me. Because we need to hear this. I need to hear it from you. We need to hear it from each other that those who look to Him are radiant and that their faces are never covered in shame. Find someone beside you, someone behind you, and look at them and say to them, those who look to the Lord are radiant. Their faces are never covered in shame. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered in shame. Those who look to Him are radiant. Those who look to Him.
So what should we do? Holy Spirit? Oh. Crap. Christ is enough. Well, we'll start off with, the more I seek you.
Yeah.
So, what seems to work well for us here is that you would be chairs that you would see. Let's form a circle around the building. We'll come around the whole house. Take some bread, put it in front of you, take off a piece of it. We'll come around, we'll give you a cup of tea, give you a cup of the juice, and take on that.
That's right, love it. Seek you. Okay. He's gonna talk. Oh, he's just talking.
So much Christ. Let me start with the scripture here in 1 Corinthians, verse 11. We're told why we're doing this, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be thinking about while we're doing this. Here's the apostle right before I come here to you, but I'm speaking the Lord Himself on the night He was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took some bread, He begged God for it. And He broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We're doing this in remembrance of Jesus. Lord, help us and help us in that. Let's just call ourselves here. Let's put all of us on what you're about to hear.
More I seek you. 3, 4, 1, 2. The more I find you.
Thank you.
I had 9 instead of